Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Luke 8. Shut up, Tom. Luke, what is the date?
Today is the
6th. 6th?
Yes, it's 6th of December.
Verse 17. Okay. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And we're studying the word manifest. And it doesn't just mean like it's seeable, it says that it's shining. That's what the word comes from, paneros. So, we're going to spend some time. We're going to spend some time on why Jesus kept saying something over and over again. So let's go to Matthew 12. We're going to be in Matthew a while. No, go to Matthew 8 first. This is right after the Sermon on the Mount. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So again, or here we have, instead of shall be made manifest, Jesus is saying, tell no man. Now let's go to another one.
Now why did he do that?
Well, we're going to get there. Let's go to Matthew.
It also says that when he went to the priest, that be a testimony unto them, the priests.
But not, he's not telling, they wouldn't tell him, he wouldn't say that it was Jesus that did it, he said that it was cleansed, the leprosy was cleansed.
All right,
let's go to Matthew 9. What? Well, verse 27, Matthew 9. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they didn't pay any attention to it, because, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. So, again, Jesus was saying not to make it manifest, but to tell no man. All right, let's go to Matthew 12. This is when he healed the man with a withered hand. And then in verse 14, and the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. Again, not make him known. Okay, let's go look in Mark. Mark 3, verse 10. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. and straitly charged them that they should not make him known. Again, opposite.
Well, and it's, we could go on and on, but it's, you get the idea. So why did he keep charging them not to make him known? And let's go and see what Jesus said about it. Go to Matthew 17. Instead of let's guessing, let's not play guessing games. 17. This is at the Transfiguration. Well, let's just read that. That's interesting. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So it wasn't just the vision, it was, that's why he kept telling them, tell no man, tell no man, tell no man, tell no man, because from God's perspective, it wasn't until he had been risen from the dead that he was fully tested. Does everybody understand that? His testimony, from God's perspective, wasn't valid until he was risen from the dead. And he had to go through all this, never, ever once. He who created all things, and by him are all things made, and by him all things consist, who had more, he had all power in heaven and earth. And yet he had to go through all of these sufferings and all of these tests without ever leaning on his own arm of understanding, without ever being able to just flick his finger and do something, fix it, fix everything. And the reason is this: you are never tested regarding something that you don't possess. Now, this is the opposite of what you hear religion say. They say, to Tony Romo, he just revealed to everybody he was a believer. They now say, come on, use your celebrity to help get converts. But God would say, and I'm sorry, Tony, if you're listening, God would say, give up your ability as a quarterback. I certainly will never be tested along the lines of being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, because I have no capacity. So you're only tested about what you already possess. And what you possess is what you have to give up. Does everybody understand this?
Are you saying that the only way that Tony Romo can reach people is if he gave up his...
No, I'm saying that would be the ideal, the test for him.
The test or a test?
A test.
So if Tony Romo said, I'm retiring from the Dallas Cowboys and I'm going to pursue my spiritual or religious...
No, he couldn't even say that. He could just say, I'm retiring from the Dallas Cowboys. Not to pursue any.
And he would do that God.
You give up that. You're tested along the lines of something that you possess.
And the deal is you give it up.
Well, that's what Jesus did.
That's pretty tall. That's pretty tough act to follow.
Well, and he said that's why we must continue with him in his test. Now, but, you know, we hear all the time, some musician comes to Jesus, now praise God, instead of singing pagan songs, you can sing Jesus songs. No. All songs are Jesus songs. You just don't hear it.
I'm really not sure I understand that at all, that concept.
Okay, can you understand that? Let's go to Colossians.
Anytime anyone does anything that has any...
I'm just telling you what test is. What you're tested by. What your temptation is.
So I'm supposed to give it up. You're telling me
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just teaching. Let's go to Colossians 1. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What was that? Was that a yawn?
Sigh.
Huh?
A sigh.
Am I boring somebody?
Probably.
Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now listen to this. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, our powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What that means is, as Son of Man and Son of God, he had both. As Son of Man, as Son of God, as he walked through life, he could have forever got rid of poverty. He could have forever got rid of any sickness. He could have forever gotten rid of any hunger. You know, again, we've said this many times. He healed a few. Why didn't he heal everybody? He fed a few miraculously. Why can't he feed everybody? He raised a few from the dead. Why didn't he raise everybody from the dead? They were special? No. He had to know that he had the power to do that so that he would empty himself of that power. That's what temptation is. And his disciples, you are they that have continued with me in my test. Now, the only way I know anything about this is because within months after I became a believer, after my conversion experience, somebody said to me, I should run for, now I could run for, now I could use whatever political talents I had to be to do it for Jesus. I was tempted for a minute, then I saw, no. You're not tested along something you don't possess. Well, again, all I'm saying to you is this. I'm not going to say whatever happens when that happens. I'm saying that we must continue with him in his test. His test was never, it was to be tested along only the lines of things that he possessed. Now, what does that mean for you? That's between you and God. But all I know, and I'm telling you, that whatever you've heard about, oh, this great musician came to Jesus, and look at what they did to some of these guys that are I can't remember their names, but they were big time musicians that Harry used to get all excited about because one of them wrote a Christian album. I'd tell Harry, no. I mean, I'm glad somebody wrote a Christian album. That's not the point. But that's not along the lines of this contending with him and his test. What does that mean to you? You'll have to find that out. I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for other people. Why can't I raise a nickel for Trinity? I'm not saying that I've been faithful to this because I've tried to raise money. It didn't work very well. All I'm saying is you have to consider this with regard to this thing about what makes manifest. What is the temptation? Okay, I'll tell you what. For me, the temptation is I'm going to give up being the guard for the Dallas Mavericks. That's what I'm going to give up. No, because I don't possess the talent to give up if I had it in the first place. We think so, and it's such a... We think that we're going to use the talents for Jesus. That's the mindset. That's what the mind says. Spirit says opposite. Now, how's that worked out in you? I don't know. But I want you to be aware of it. All right, let's go back.
It kind of always gets down to the same thing. It's from my point of view, I don't care what environment you're in. Essence of every believer is whether he repents or not. And probably in a high profile position, that's probably more difficult, especially a new believer. It's too rich and delicious, all the glory they get. But repentance has to be the byword in whatever environment you find yourself.
Well, it always has to be so that you're never leaning on your own arm of understanding. It's always empty to the moment, for that moment of faith, that moment of the eternal now. The eternal now has no need for talent, has no need for celebrity, doesn't even have any need for converts. The only thing the eternal now needs is disciples. And that's the least thing, the last thing that the modern church is doing. They're making converts instead of disciples, in my opinion. Now, part of discipleship is this mystery of testing.
You know, it's like Paul, who said nothing for 20 years or 19 years.
Well, his first letter, wasn't it? He was 21 years after.
Yeah, and yet he'd been the most effective believer. He said nothing after his conversion, whereas the first thing a convert does nowadays is I got to go tell somebody and witness to prove that I'm a Christian.
Well, that whole thing about, you've heard it. I remember it said all those years I was going to 60 jillion churches, and I've heard it over and over and over again. The testimony of a new believer is so sweet. No, it's not. It's bullshit. Because there's been nothing tested. Am I communicating at all? All right, let's go back. Now I lost my place. I lost everything. We were at Matthew 17, right? Is that where we were?
Colossians, I thought. Colossians.
Well, I know we went that, but before Colossians, we were
Matthew 17, 1-9.
What?
You're very thorough. And then you'll say, are you proud of yourself? Don't get past that. Better watch out. You'll wind up being Kent. All right. I'm not kidding. I'm just being me. Where do we go? We haven't decided yet.
We're back at Luke. I mean, Matthew 17, where we took the detour. I didn't even remember why we took the detour. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. So again, this is why he kept saying, tell no man, until he was fully tested. For him to be fully tested, the resurrection had to take place. He had to go through those 3 days in hell without ever exercising his own power, always only in the moment of obedience. No matter what, we can't even imagine what was going on there. And the reason that that's true is that if that wouldn't have happened, then it would have done us no good. He wouldn't have completed the way for us. So now he is totally the way. And he's never the way with something that we think. All right. We're still on.
We're kind of doing manifest, right? Is that the...
Right. The reason we are studying this is that why did he keep saying every time he healed somebody or telling his disciples, tell no man, tell no man, tell no man. And the reason he told no man was until he was fully tested, it wasn't to tell anybody. Now, he's fully tested. Now, the same applies, if it applied to him, it applies to you. You should keep your mouth shut until you've been fully tested. As a disciple, not as a convert. So that the internal is the same as the external. You can have walked the aisle 500,000 times. As long as your inward self is still about cause and effect and about worry and fear, then it doesn't mean anything. That's why repentance is the only way out. Because repentance meaning total emptiness, that's what repentance means. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry. Repentance is a total emptiness so that he, as the way, is revealed in you. Not some harebrained idea that you have.
I'm getting a concept, maybe. Healing has no long-term value because it's stuck inside of time. It's of no more value to heal a man of leprosy than it is to throw a touchdown to Miles Austin or whoever, the receiver. And that's why Jesus said, don't tell anybody about it, because it wasn't about that act. And he didn't want what he was doing to be tainted by this thing that was in the world.
Amen.
Which I think is what you're saying about Tony Romo. At the minute you link being a believer to throwing a touchdown pass, you've tainted this thing
then
that
you've
you
done
said
it.
Was important. It's no longer as important because you just polluted it.
That's why the modern church doesn't believe really in the Holy Trinity. They believe in the Holy Unholy Quartet. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. Where did they get the idea of a personal savior? That's crazy. It's a thing that satisfies the evil one, because you're still getting self-realization, because you now have a personal savior.
problem in that sense is the personal word.
Of course.
And that's
the Savior. He's not the Savior as an individual. His interest is in the bride. The best the flesh can be is a friend to the bridegroom. Amen. Well, this doesn't sound like maybe I don't want to do this. I thought I was really going to get something out of here. I was going to be a king's kid. Remember, he can be used for nothing in time and space. The minute you use him for anything in time and space, then you've polluted. The gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. That means just because somebody's going around doing tricks, they have no more. Devil does tricks. Masquerading as angels of light, it has no meaning. And you can, it takes no discernment to see it. Anybody with the discernment of an ant can see they're phony. But they smile and they say hi and. Got it all upside down. I just wasted a whole half hour. We got to one word and didn't even begin to study one word.
Yeah, but it was inside of time. It doesn't really matter.
Did anybody have any questions? Do you understand this, or do you, you know, at least do you accept it, whether or not you understand it? You're not tested about something you don't possess. You're only tested along the lines of the things that you possess. Not tested to see that you can do them well, but see that you empty yourselves of them, so you walk in dependence on him alone. That's why cause and effect is such an enemy of mercy and grace and faith. Because if you know how to do something, if I do this, that will happen, then that's the biggest enemy of faith there is. That's why the cause and effect is Babylon. Doesn't matter who's doing it. That's why it says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Touch not the unclean thing. I pray that you hear, and I pray that you understand. I pray that the church, his church, would hear. You okay, John? Mm-hmm. Okay. Take it, big guy.